Hello, and welcome to our special podcast on the Middle East. Today we're talking about Lebanon with Bishop Declan Lang, Bishop of Clifton and also Chair of the Bishops' Conference Department of International Affairs, and Dr. Harry Hagopian, our Middle East consultant. Towards the end of July 2010, Bishop Declan led a delegation to Lebanon. With the media focus on the region honing in on Afghanistan and, to a lesser extent, Iraq, I started by asking the bishop, why Lebanon?
They actually said to us when we were there that Lebanon has become a forgotten country. Some years ago, it was quite prominent in the news when questions came up about the role of Hezbollah. But they feel that they have been forgotten, and they hope they won't be forgotten. And I suppose one of the reasons for our visit there was to assure them that they haven't been forgotten, especially the Christian communities.
Was this your first time in Lebanon?
This was my first time, and it was very much a whole new world for me, which I found quite fascinating. A world of a fragile peace, and yet a world in which the different communities recognise the importance of dialogue for the future of their country, and that the future of dialogue and the future of the country could very much give hope to other surrounding countries and Christian communities and Muslim communities there.
Was it a country that you found had an air of tension and a sort of lack of peace or anything of that nature, or did it not seem that way?
One day when we were visiting some of the shrines, a Lebanese woman came up to me and she said, "Bishop, please pray for peace in the Lebanon." I think there is a willingness for peace. People are wanting to be at peace, but they recognise that the peace is quite fragile and that hostility could break out any time. And in fact, soon after we left, there was an incident between Israel and Lebanon concerning some trees. And it's that sort of small thing that could actually trigger off something much bigger.
And it's interesting because, as the bishop was saying, this was also a visit of solidarity with the Christian communities of the Lebanon and primarily the Maronite Catholic community. What always interests me is that war and violence and civil conflict are not alien to the Lebanese. And therefore, when you say, was there an air of tension palpable in the air? I mean, they've become so used, almost inured to the idea of violence and tension and conflict, that you have to speak with them a little bit, draw them out of themselves in order to feel that there are those fears in each and every Lebanese, be they Christian, be they Muslim, about the future of their country. And in a sense, they do feel that it is a country that is pivotal to the whole region because there's so many proxy wars that are being fought on Lebanese soil. And yet, as you said, the BBC or other media outlets focus more on Iraq, they focus more on Afghanistan and perhaps also on Israel-Palestine, forgetting incidentally that the largest Christian community and the largest numbers of Christians, indigenous local Christians of the Arab and Middle Eastern world, happen to be in Lebanon itself.
It was also said to us that we've got to remember that the Christian community is not being persecuted in Lebanon. It's facing challenges, it's facing difficulties, but so are all the other citizens in Lebanon as well. And the fact that a certain number of Christians have left the country is really for political and economic reasons, as is true for the Muslim community as well.
Now, I think the last time that Lebanon was front and centre in the public eye was perhaps 4 years ago, back in 2006, with the conflict between Hezbollah and Israel rather than anything else. Yet you talked about a trivial issue that could spark off further difficulties. I mean, I suppose for a country that's often heralded as a blueprint for democracy, does this not show how unstable the whole region is?
Well, it shows the instability of the whole region, and it also shows how this instability is not only reflected in Lebanon, but it is also fought out in Lebanon to a large extent. I would say that there have been incidents post the Israel-Hezbollah confrontations in 2006 that underline that fragility and the sense of fear that pervades throughout the whole region, but certainly within the different Lebanese Muslim and Christian communities. Something that your readers and listeners might be aware of is that there is a ratcheting up of tensions at the moment because the Special Tribunal for Lebanon which has its headquarters in The Hague, is going to come up at some stage with an indictment as to who were responsible for the murder of the late Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, whose son, incidentally, is the Prime Minister today. And therefore, there are so many contributory factors to the tension within Lebanon that neither the Muslim community nor the Christian community are insensitive to it. The Christians have left in certain numbers, as Bishop Declan has just said, because of socioeconomic and political reasons rather than because of persecution. And in fact, I would say that the best template for Christian-Muslim coexistence would probably also be Lebanon, because there are 18 confessions in the country. And of those 18 confessions, they have somehow managed to come up with admittedly a precarious balance where all of them respect each other's rights. Because if you violate the rights of one confessional community, then automatically it's like a domino effect. The others would also be affected. But of course, the brief we had as a delegation headed by Bishop Declan was to go and meet with the Christian communities first and foremost. But we also had the opportunity to meet with political figures as well as other Orthodox and Reformed Church figures, as well as just ordinary people, journalists, specialists, ordinary people coming to church. One of my memories, which was really nice, we went to the shrine in the mountains of Lebanon, Bishop, and you celebrated Mass with the Maronite priest, Father Paul Karam.
Yes, it was a very special occasion. And a very enriching occasion as well.
And the response that the people had is also cultural, and it shows the centrality that faith still plays in the hearts and minds of the Christians of the Middle East, in a way that we in the West, which are somewhat a post-Christian society, have forgotten a bit of those values.
One of the important things that was said, at least I think it was important, was that people were saying to us, we're misunderstood, or we're not understood, our mentality. And people in the West really need to try and understand the mindset of the Middle East. And again, I think an important thing for me was that realization that the Christian communities, as well as other communities, they are integral to that part of the world. They're not blow-ins. And they very much are proud of the fact that they are Arab Christians, that they are not foreigners in a foreign land, but they're in their own land and they have their own history. And a question that was put to us on a few times was that they have to face up to, what is it to be a Christian in the Lebanon today? Mm-hmm. What is it to be Lebanese? But within that wider question, what is it to be a Christian, and what does Christianity contribute to the well-being of the whole of Lebanese society?
And how would you answer that question? And I suppose looking specifically at the Catholic Church, but what does Christianity contribute to the Lebanon?
I think Christianity can contribute this whole area of the importance of dialogue and respect for other faiths. I think on a practical basis, the Christian communities provide a lot of education and health care and can provide a mentality that seeks for peace, peace for all peoples. But it will actually mean an adjustment in, say, the position that the churches have been in, because they're in a new situation and they're not so strong numerically as they used to be, but they still have a lot to contribute.
I would tend to agree with you on that, Bishop, and it's very interesting because it's not the Christians themselves, but the Muslims in Lebanon who would be the first to say to you, whether they're Sunni, whether they're Shi'i or Druze, they're the first, James, to say that it is the presence of the Christian communities in Lebanon which enriches that community and that culture even more and makes it so special within the Middle East. But because there have been socioeconomic issues, because the Lebanon has been embroiled in civil wars and civil conflicts of one sort or another, because of the hemorrhaging of Christians, local Arab indigenous Christians from the whole region, including from Lebanon, I think, as the bishop intimated, there is the need, and I think it is happening, even if it is at a subliminal level, there is a process of soul searching that is necessary even within the Christian communities for them to ask what their role is today and how does their faith reflect that role within the Lebanon as Christians.
Now, we've talked about the prominence, if you like, of the Christian communities in the Lebanon. I'm just wondering, and I know you might be able to expand this out into the whole of the region perhaps, but how much of a problem is it that quite often, again, in terms of perceptions, we look at the Middle East as Islam and non-Islam? I mean, how difficult is that for Christian communities to have a sort of Western judgment on the whole area as being conflict between, and even perhaps conflict between Islamic groups as well? Is that a problem?
It is a misperception, I think. Because what happens, and I think the bishop has already in some way answered that question, James, when he said that what we heard from the Lebanese Christians, as you know, I've been going to the region fairly frequently. I know the region quite well, so I probably could speak regionally, but also in a Lebanese sense. They themselves were telling us, please understand our culture, understand where we're coming from and what we represent within our own respective societies. In other words, what they were trying to say, don't look at us through a Western or European or American prism, but rather through our own experiences and the sum total of those experiences and realities which basically lift up our existence in this part of the world. And that is one of the problems we have. When we talk politics, when we talk socioeconomics, when we even talk ecumenism and faith issues, we tend, and it is instinctive, it's human, to try and look at the other from your own perception, because that is what you have as your own legacy within your own cultural genes. And what they're saying is, we are different, therefore look at us differently, and do not think that it is always a clash of religions between Islam and Christianity. It is not. Huntington's principle of a clash of civilizations, cultures, and religions does not really work out very well, certainly not in the Middle East that I know. What does work is that there are tensions within the Christian communities, within the different Muslim communities. Like in Lebanon now, there are very, very serious tensions pretty much beneath the surface between the Sunnis and the Shias, but those are managed. And the idea is that if we understand that those tensions are part and parcel of a richer, perhaps more eclectic mosaic of communities within the whole region, including Lebanon itself, then we can perhaps understand why we in the West sometimes fail to understand the Middle East and why we sometimes make decisions that boomerang against us ultimately.
Please, they said, don't impose Western standards on us. Accept us for who we are, and then we might begin to understand one another, and we might be able to dialogue with respect. And I think that's important, that we're not imposing a Western standards upon them.
Yet, funnily enough, when we mentioned one of the beautiful parts of the visit, you were talking about celebrating Mass. And that, in a sense, is a commonality, isn't it? That's something you can go to any country in the world and go to Catholic Mass. And we do have that unification, if you like.
We do, but it was the Maronite Rite. Mm. And I think the important thing for Catholics in this part of the world is to understand that within the Catholic Church there are different rites. And we need to experience those rites as well. That's why I said it was a very enriching experience for me personally.
I mean, we went there as the Bishop's Conference with a Roman Catholic perspective to it. But in Lebanon, we had a whole host of meetings, and we were very fortunate to meet with Cardinal Mar Nasrallah Sfer, who is the head of the Maronite Church. We had the good fortune of meeting with the Patriarch Gregorios Laham, who is from the Greek Catholic or Melkite tradition. We also met with the Armenian Catholic Patriarch. We met with the Apostolic Nuncio. We also met with the Armenian Orthodox Catholicos, who is the equivalent of the Pope in Armenian church circles. So it was a whole diversity. And this is why it is very important to understand that it is not a monolithic faith, but it is a faith of different colors and traditions, which sometimes coalesce together, which sometimes work well together, and which sometimes have problems. But we are the last people to be judges, because we have our own sets of problems in the West that are sometimes perhaps even more serious than those that are facing the Middle East. So I would very much hope that this visit and any subsequent visits we might have with Bishop Teklin to the Middle East would help not help us only understand the region and its Christian communities more, but also translate, as we're doing with this podcast, what we learn to the people in the West, so that they also begin to appreciate that there is a larger fellowship, a universal Christian fellowship, of which the Arab Christian churches are an integral part. Let's not forget, the church began in the Middle East, not in Europe or America or Australia. And that is something we need to take into account. When you talk to a Syrian Orthodox, when you talk to a Catholic, when you talk to an Armenian, they talk about 2,000 years of Christian tradition and history, despite the problems, despite the wars, despite the persecutions. And that is something that I believe is a richness that could help us as much as we could help them.
And I think our visits, for me again personally, very much stressed that and enriched my understanding of that deep history of 2,000 years.
Well, sticking with you, Bishop Teklin, I know it's always difficult to second guess how things are received by others, but did you, or was it communicated to you, a sense of appreciation that the church in England and Wales was actually showing some interest in the Lebanon? How important is that to them?
Well, we were received with great hospitality wherever we went. And I think there was a friendliness and perhaps also an interest that the Catholic Church in England and Wales is interested in the Christian communities of the Middle East, and also the wider questions that the Middle East has to face. And I think there was an appreciation in the sense that we went, hopefully, with a sense of respect, not to tell people what to do, not to judge them, but actually to learn from them and to appreciate the situation that that they are in, and to say that we're with you, that you are not a forgotten community, because there is the problem that they sometimes feel that they are forgotten communities.
I mean, it's interesting, James, because whenever I speak about the Christians of the Middle East, I either describe them as the living stones or as the forgotten faithful. And in a sense, there is a perception there that they are somehow forgotten, that we look at the Middle East only in terms of a Muslim sea and Israel, and that the Christian communities, with their rich contribution to the culture, to the tradition, to the politics of the region, sometimes is missed out. And one of the things I appreciated on a personal level, knowing a little bit the realities of the region, is how Bishop Teklin was almost always more a listener than a talker, than a speaker. And I think they appreciated the fact that we were there to learn from them, to listen to them, to hear them out. Our last meeting was in Jbeil with one of the leading Maronite bishops of Lebanon. And we had a wonderful meeting and a wonderful hospitable lunch. But we also had a very interesting discussion where he tried to explain his perspective and the perspective of his church on issues to do from faith to politics to economics within the whole region. And then he placed the challenge on us by saying, well, what are you going to do to help us? And I think that is where the osmosis is very important, and the listening is as important as the talking.
Well, that leads me on quite nicely. I mean, we often talk about the value of solidarity visits. I would perhaps lay down a similar challenge then. What have we learned, and B, what can we do to help the Christians and the people of Lebanon?
I think it's important that it's not just a one-off visit, that we continue the contact to show that we are quite genuine in our desire to stand with them. And I think what we have learnt, what I have learnt certainly, is that Christianity is deep within the roots of Middle Eastern society, and that the church is a much richer place for the existence of such communities.
I must admit, when I was in Iran, I found that I was there in a Catholic capacity. I found that a lot of people just simply wanted to talk to me to counter that perception that we have in the West, or their idea of the misconceptions we have in the West. Did you find a lot of ordinary people, in inverted commas, coming up to you wanting to impress the reality of the situation?
Ordinary people were wanting to lead ordinary lives in a peaceful way. Because human beings, wherever we come from, we're seeking happiness, and they are seeking happiness and security for their families and well-being for their families. So they want peace. And the fact of an appreciation by people that we were there.
And it is coupled with that appreciation also, Bishop, I think, is an innate reverence they have to a Christian leader, to somebody who has made the effort to come and stand in solidarity with them, listen to them, try to understand a little bit their problems, and if at all possible, help them. Your question made me smile when you asked this question to the Bishop, James, because when I was busy preparing for the visit before we actually flew there, I was talking to a couple of people who helped put the visit together. One of them was the director of the Missio Catholic office in Lebanon, Father Paul. And I was telling them that we're coming as a delegation. And one of the wry comments somebody made in the room, I remember a few months before we actually went there, was, oh, is this going to be another one of those Christian delegations parading in and having their say and then forgetting all about us the minute they're back on the plane? This is why I think it is crucial for the work and the credibility of the Bishops' Conference, but also for the good of the Christian communities there and this new relationship that we are forging with Lebanon in the context of the larger work that the Bishops' Conference does in the Middle East, that we continue and maintain those contacts, strengthen them and expand them out, which is why I'm delighted that the Bishop is also now considering whether we could also go and visit the Christian communities in Syria, because they have a wealth of tradition and history when it comes to Christians, and it's Syria is one of the countries when the Christians probably feel safest in the whole Middle East.
Well, as well as being chair of the Department for International Affairs, you're obviously Bishop of Clifton as well. So how difficult is it, as Harry said, how difficult is it to, you know, get off the plane straight into a myriad of things to do in your own diocese to keep those experiences somewhere in your consciousness?
I think like all bishops, like many people, not just bishops, you have to get a balance in life, because I think there's nobody who just does one job nowadays anywhere. And I think it is a matter of actually thinking what is important. And there are things which demand your attention immediately, but there are other things I think that you have to plan for if they are important to you and if they're important to the life of the church.
What would you say overall you've learnt from the experience?
What I've learned is that the Middle East is not the West, that the Christian communities are an integral part of Middle East society, that they are asking the question, what is it to be a Lebanese Christian? And the importance as well of how the Christian community has the great possibility of working for the peace and the common good of the whole of the Lebanon.
Perhaps a final question, Harry. People listening to this podcast, and we've talked about misconceptions and what the Lebanese people, the Lebanese Christian communities want, what would you implore people listening to take away from this as to how they view the Lebanon?
Well, two things. One, if anything, the Middle East and the Middle Eastern communities and Christian communities have also taught me humility, because the more I learn about the Middle East, the more I realize that there is more to learn and more to discover. And that shows already how much more we can do as a bishops' conference in the Middle East to help in our very modest, small way toward this larger fellowship that we are talking about. And if there is one thing that I would implore your listeners to keep in mind, and this is something I always say, that there are Christians native indigenous Arab Christians, but also Armenians, also Greeks, also Copts in the Middle East. They are people who've been witnessing to their faith for two millennia almost. And I think that we should keep them in their prayers, just as they do themselves, and try to support and understand that the Middle East is a much richer and more complex mosaic than we sometimes tend to believe it is when we look at it simply as being basically Islam versus Islam, or Islam versus Judaism, or politics taking over. One of the nicest things we did is to discover, I believe, the ordinariness and the normality and the just ordinary people doing their own bit, leading their own lives. I remember one of the things we did when we were going from one meeting to another, I basically asked the driver if he could take us to the Armenian Patriarchate in Antelias, in one of the suburbs of Beirut, where they showed us the relics to some of the Armenians who had died during the Armenian genocide during World War I. And then we were invited to visit the museum to also look a little bit at the history of the Armenian church and the Christian church in the Middle East as a whole. And I thought to myself, as we were going into the museum, the bishop is going to now say, Harry, we don't have time really for this. Do we really have to do this? But it was lovely because I sat there and the bishop spent quite a long time compared to the timetable and program we had looking at it. And I think this was also a reflection of the heritage and the richness that those churches bring with them. So please remember those Christians. Stand whenever possible in solidarity with them, and also pray for us that we might be able to help them as well.
Dr. Harry Hagopian, lawyer and Middle East consultant, in conversation with Bishop Declan Lang, Bishop of Clifton and Chair of the Bishops' Conference Department of International Affairs. For more from the Catholic Church in the West of England, visit www.cliftondiocese.com. For the latest from the Catholic Church in England and Wales, visit www.catholicchurch.org.uk.